Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time set apart each week, where we hear your word sung and spoken, for this reset to remind us of who we are and whose we are, dear Lord. Thank you for the gift of this place where we can come together to worship you, for the gift of family, dear Lord. Help us to be good to one another, to be kind to one another, to extend even a fraction to others of all that grace and love that you extend to us so freely each and every day. No matter what we do or say, you forgive us, dear Lord. Help us to extend that love. Sometimes we take those that we love the most for granted. We can give our best to the world and forget to save some of that love and respect for those at home. May we share a loving word each day with those closest to us. You are our peace. You are our love. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like us to pause for a moment and think about words. Did anyone say something to you that you'll never forget? Maybe it was something beautiful and so filled with love, like, you're perfect exactly as you are, or I'm so proud of you, or, oh, you did such a good job. Or maybe it was, I love you, or will you marry me? Something that made you feel so good in that moment, that no matter what was going on in your life or in the world, you knew that you were loved by at least one person at that moment. Or maybe it was something horrible that was said to you, and even though it was years ago, you'll never get it out of your mind, and somehow can't quite seem to forgive the person who said it. Words are powerful. They act as conduits from everything from our most insignificant, fleeting thoughts to those words that were hard to speak in the first place, our deepest, most strongly held beliefs and values. We use words to comfort, to rally, to persuade. When we're hurting, we look to people that we trust to share words that will lift us up and give us the power to propel us forward, to go back into the world, and to tell us, don't worry, it will be okay. We can also use words to hurt or to incite doubt. Most importantly, God uses words to reach us, and we use our humble words, please, thank you, to reach out to God. And then God reaches back to us. Words matter. They convey our heart. So some of you may have heard about one of our ministries here called the Higher League, and it's for kids who are age 18 to 22. Well, we have a big weekend coming up at camp, And so Pastor Dixon and I took our list of kids that fell into that age, and we spent an evening just texting them, reaching out, hey, what are you doing the first weekend in June? Hope you sign up for camp. We already have 90 kids registered so far. And we just wanted to send a little extra reach out from their pastors. So I happen to know for a fact that we have 600 kids age 18 to 22 in our congregation, which tells us that we have close to 1,200 parents who are on the road each summer dropping their beloved cargo off at a college or a new apartment or a new job. These are amazing times for our kids. So exciting, so much ahead of them, so much to learn, so much to do, so much to grow. And they are terrifying times for parents. On the one hand, we're like, oh, they get to follow their dream. We're setting them off. We're filled with hope and excitement for them. And on the other hand, we are scared silly about dropping our precious cargo off somewhere that we are not. So I'm going to give you a little example of one such set of words that took place in a tan minivan overflowing with clothes and soccer gear, brand new sheets and quilts and pillows, a case of mac and cheese from Costco, and Gatorade that hit the road heading south on 169. Mom, are you sure you know how to do laundry? Because I'm quite sure I've never seen you do laundry. Do you really know how to wash your own clothes? Do you have everything you're going to need? Shampoo, toothpaste, deodorant? Be nice to your teachers. They're nervous too. Practice what you're going to say ahead for a time when someone tempts you to do something you don't want to do. Just say no. I look over and I see my husband shaking his head, thinking, I cannot believe she is still talking. Don't forget to study. Be yourself. Remember, God created you exactly as you are. And if you meet someone and fall in love, don't forget. Annoyed child. Mom, I know. You've told me all this 1,000 times. So apparently, there can be too many words. Nervous parents talking way too much. For some reason, feeling like this is the very last chance we have to teach them everything that we want them to know. To summarize the last 18 years of parenting in a few distracted miles of road, when the very last thing that they're thinking about or wanting, I imagine, are more words. We somehow forget that they spent 18 years watching us. We speak words to our children not expecting perfection by any means, but we speak these words to share our often hard-won wisdom in hopes that maybe if we give them a roadmap, that perhaps they can avoid some of those massive, major, life-changing potholes in the road of life. So too it is with our Heavenly Father. Each Wednesday in confirmation, we have the kids go through these motions where they reenact the Ten Commandments, thinking that if they just followed these Ten Commandments, their lives would be so smooth. If we just followed these Ten Commandments, our lives would be so smooth. Take, for example, the words that Pastor Rudd just read. Last-minute advice from Jesus to his disciples, from someone who was leaving, to people that he loved. From the Gospel of John, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth and the life. More families choose these words than planning a funeral than any other in the Bible. And with good reason, these were Jesus' last, most important, final parting words before he left. Can you even imagine if you were in that situation? It's your very last day. You're leaving everyone that you know and love. You're on that road, and you're trying to impart your very last words of wisdom and hope. What would you say? Would you fill it with, you better do this, you better do that? Jesus doesn't. He doesn't babble. He doesn't say, I'm so scared, or why do I have to go through this, or I don't want to go through this. Jesus simply says, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'll come back for you. We'll be together again. I promise. And when his friend Thomas, with that doubt-filled human heart that we all have, when he wants, when he craves, when he needs more information about the plan that lies ahead, and he says, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus simply says, I am the way. There's no do this or do that, no prerequisites, just pure love and pure grace. Don't worry, I'll be back for you, I promise. Because Jesus trusts God and knows that everything really will be okay. Maybe not today, maybe not this week, maybe not even this year, but everything really will be okay. All we need do is let go and trust that God's got this, that God's got us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, over and over again, you remind us to not be afraid, that you are with us now and always. When our brains start to spin, when we start to plan and think we can figure it all out, and we can't seem to find a way around our problems, help us to remember that you are the way and the truth and the life. And when we're that mom or dad in the minivan, trying our best to let go, but loving them so much that we can't, help us to remember that there is someone who loves them even more than we do. And that is you. Amen.